passing down to just simply as our next breath. We depend on you. Father, thank you for this time. We just thank you for Pastor Craig and his passion and compassion that he has for sharing your word with us, River Valley Bible Church. Just bless him as he comes this morning. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you will turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, continuing on in our series through this epistle. First Peter chapter 4, and let's read verses 1 through 6. It says, "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they may be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit." Father in heaven, we do thank you for your word to us. We thank you for the encouragements, really, in the form of even commands here for us as we've placed our faith in you and now to live our life for you is what you desire. And I pray, Lord, that we will. Thank you for this passage that describes just that. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so in our passage today, Peter is telling us to make the most, really, of the time that we have left here on earth. In fact, verse 7, we're not going to get there today, Lord willing, next week, but verse 7 begins by saying, "But the end of all things is at hand." Okay? And since Jesus walked the earth, the latter days were set in motion. And really, the end of all things is at hand. It began then. It is imminent. The world as we know it will end one day. It is imminent, and it could happen at any time. But God has been very patient with us. So Peter says, in light of what Christ has done for us, invest your time. Invest your time wisely. Get ready. Whatever time you have left, use it wisely, because the end of all things is at hand. The idea of time is actually mentioned in verse 2, it's mentioned in verse 3, and it will be mentioned in verse 7 when we get there next week. Peter talks about this idea of redeeming the time. Paul talks about it too. In Ephesians 5, 15 through 17, Paul there says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." In other words, our days are numbered. He continues, says, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." And that is exactly what Peter is talking about in our passage here today. Our subject this morning is redeeming the time. It's taking whatever time we have left in this life and investing it wisely into the will of God, doing what he wants. Peter wants us to invest whatever time we have left to honor God with our lives because of what he's done for us. Now, several weeks ago, when we were back in chapter 2 of this epistle, I illustrated what Christ had done for us by attempting to put us in his sandals, so to speak, for a minute. And I put this scenario forth to us. Would we give up one of our lungs so that our child could live? And my answer to that question is yes, absolutely I would. Would we give up both of our lungs so that two of our children could live? Perhaps. Perhaps I would. Would we give up both of our lungs so that two strangers could live? I don't know. Would we give up both of our lungs so that two strangers who spent their entire lives smoking like chimneys could live? Because that's what Christ did for us. His life for our life of sin. He took them all upon himself and gave his life for our wrongs. And Peter's point here now is, what are we going to do with those new lungs? What will we do with the rest of our life? Peter tells us that we are recipients. We're recipients of a new life with God forever. In fact, back in verse 18 of chapter 3, he puts it this way. He says, "For Christ suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God," to have that new life with him forever. And Peter's question, so to speak, here is, are you packing for the trip? Are you getting ready? Are we packing the right things for where we're going? Now, of late, I've gotten into the bad habit of waiting till the last minute to pack for trips. I used to not do that, but lately I've been doing that, and inevitably, I find myself packing for mesquite climate conditions no matter where I'm going. And so I spent a week in wintry, windy Wyoming without a jacket. Janine, however, packs weeks before any trip that she goes on. And she packs enough for like 3 people. And that's great for me, because then I can wear one of the several jackets that she packed, all right? On the other hand, many of you moved here from colder climates, and you found that there were things that you, well, you no longer needed them or wanted them. Snow blowers, snow shovels, snow boots, right? So it is with the new life that we now have in Christ. There are things that we no longer need, and we need to get rid of them, but there are things that need to change in our life, and we need to be prepared. We need to pack for where we're going. All right? And here in the first half of chapter 4, because of what Christ has done for us, and I'll just repeat, verse 18 from chapter 3, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." That's where we're going. That's what we're packing for. That's what we're getting ready for right now. And Peter, in the first half of chapter 4, because of what Christ has done for us, gives us 6 ways to get ready. 6 ways to get ready to go. 6 ways that we should live our new life now. 6 ways, really, to redeem the time. Redeeming the time is our subject, and we're only going to look at 2 of those ways this morning. But Lord willing, the other 4 next week. But the first way that Peter tells us to redeem the time, The first way that Peter tells us to get ready to go is to be done with sin. Be done with sin. And know that that is an attitude, that is a desire, that is a goal that we have. Know that in this life, it will rear its ugly head. We will trip over it. We will fall over it. Sometimes we will even embrace it because that's what sin does to us. But Peter here tells us, because of what Christ has done for us, because of where we're going, be done. Be done with sin. That is the goal. Look at verses 1 and 2. Chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with this same mind. For he who has suffered," and he's talking about us here, "he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." And we will suffer in this lifetime right now. We need to cease from sin that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. There should be a shift in our thinking. We died with Christ that day. Our flesh, our nature was done away with. We need to live like it is dead. Be done with sin. Get rid of that snow shovel. Don't smoke with your new lungs. Can you imagine how it must grieve God when we believe him for salvation? When we receive his free gift of eternal life in heaven, that was very costly to him. Hey, I'll believe that. But then we doubt, we disbelieve, we disregard other things that he says. We neglect what God desires for us. We reject the best that God has for us and gives us as we follow him, and then we do what we want instead. We receive that free gift, but then live like we want to. We use our time for us. How selfish. How ungrateful. Imagine a man giving up his lungs, his life, to save two strangers whose lungs died from smoking cigarettes, and then 6 months later, the wife of that man sees those two men smoking again. Ingrates. That word's been on my mind a lot lately for some reason. Listen to Ephesians 4:30. It says, "Do not grieve," and specifically, "do not grieve with sin, the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Peter here says, be done with sin, with doubt, done with disbelief, done with disregard. Christ died. He died to pay for our sin. He suffered humiliation. He suffered temptation, rejection, mocking, maligning, false witnesses, false trials, beatings, scourgings, crucifixion, shame, and death to pay for my sins and yours. So that we could have a new life. So Christians must live like he has. Like he has done that. Treasure the price that he paid for you. Every waking moment, treasure the price that he paid for you. And I want you to know, I'm using the word you, but I'm speaking to me too. I'm speaking to me too. I need to hear this. We need to treasure it by living for him. And Peter gives us a few ways to do that. The first one is to think as he thought. This is how we be done with sin. Think as he thought. He says, arm yourselves with the same mind. And the idea here is the devil, the world, and even our own sinful desires will attack the way we think. It will try to sway and twist the way we think. Well, if we'll read the truth, if we come to know the truth of what God says, we'll begin to experience the truth of God's, what God says, and it will arm our minds against lies. The lies of the devil, the lies of the world, and even the lies that we tell ourselves to justify what we want. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 14 through 17, it says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Think as he thought, utilizing all of these tools that we've been given here. Think as he thought, and then live as he lived. Not in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God, our passage says. Ask God in prayer sometime. Ask him, "What do you want to do with my life?" As he puts some ideas in your mind, try some of those things. Ministry in the church, ministry to others, ministry in your community, in your family, whatever it is. Ask God, "What do you want me to do?" And then try some of those things. And then as he directs us, do it. That's how I became a pastor. I'm not trying to scare you, but that's how I became a pastor. And I needed to continue to do these things. In John 5:30, Jesus said, "I can of myself do nothing." And he's speaking of him here in human form. "As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." You and I need to live as Jesus lived. And then we need to leave the past in the past. Being done with sin involves leaving the past in the past. Look at verse 3 now. 1 Peter chapter 4, look at verse 3. It says, "For we have spent enough of our past lifetime doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries." Now the word Gentiles here refers to the ways of the world in general, and all of the world's sinful, selfish pursuits. And Peter's point here is we've already wasted enough time doing that. And then he lists some of those things that perhaps we used to pursue and shouldn't anymore. He says, "Live not in worldliness," and that encompasses that word Gentiles, and it's the general thought of verse 3. Don't do the will of the world. Because the world is all about, well, the world. Live not in worldliness. Live not in lewdness. This is outrageous anything goes behavior. This is us just doing what we want, whatever it is. And we must not do that anymore. It's careless living. He also says, live not in lusts. Lusts are those sinful desires that well up inside of us. They're desires that are contrary to God's nature. They're contrary to his word. They're contrary to his will. Live not in drunkenness. This word actually means overflow. So much narcotic that it overflows into our personality, our character, our behavior. Live not in revelries and drinking parties. This is the idea that really life is a party. Grab all the gusto you can get. It's about having fun and us being happy. Now, there's nothing wrong with joy in this life, but life is not about the pursuit of whatever makes us happy. And then he says, live not in abominable idolatries. These are those pursuits and activities that are in direct contradiction to God, in direct contradiction to his character and ultimately his desires for us. They're against his law, and by the way, they are repulsive to him. We must leave the past in the past. We've wasted enough of our lifetime thinking about these things, pursuing these things, and perhaps even participating in these things. And it really doesn't matter how old or young you are, you've wasted enough time doing that. Invest our time wisely now. That's redeeming the time. Invest our time wisely now and live for God's will. And we will see that it is the ultimate best for us. God always and only has our best interest and his glory at heart. Seek him, his word, his will. Be done with sin. But as we do that, as we recognize that we've spent enough time pursuing, perhaps even participating in those things, and we're done with it, we stop doing those things. Know this, when we do, the world of sinners is going to look at us like we are weird. And they will not like us for it. So then we are given the second way to redeem the time. Okay, we got four more we'll look at, Lord willing, next week. But the last one and second one today is be patient with sinners. Be done with sin and be patient with sinners. Look at verse 4 now. It says, in regard to these, they think it's strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. Have you ever been in a really large crowd of people? I mean, shoulder to shoulder, tight, and you're all moving the same direction. Maybe like you're going into a concert or something like that, but you got a crowd of people. You're all going the same direction, shoulder to shoulder, front to back. It's tight. And then all of a sudden you realize, wait, I don't want to go there. I need to go there. And you turn around and start fighting your way through that crowd. You're going to get some dirty looks. People are going to think, what's wrong with this guy? Some of them may even say some bad words to you, okay? It actually makes me think of the opening credits to the TV show The Chosen. All the fish, they're all going the same direction, the same direction, the same direction, except for one. Jesus. He starts going the other direction. Before you know it, others start turning around and following him. That's Peter's desire here, but it will take patience with those people that we're going the opposite way against. In Ephesians again, some really close ties between what we're looking at here and what Paul has to say in Ephesians. But Ephesians 2:1, it says, and you who were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked according to the course of this world, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. And my point is, we were going that direction at one point in time too. And that's a reason to be patient with those that are. But as we turn around then and follow Jesus, He leads us in the opposite direction of sinners, and sinners will think you are strange. When you turn around and start going the other way, the way of Jesus, they are going to think you are strange. Now, I'm pretty sure that I've been the topic of conversation and mockery among my unsaved family. And the reason I'm pretty sure is because before I was saved, I mocked my next older brother and his wife, all right, who were believers. And I remember going, when I was an unbeliever, going to a non-denominational worship service, much like this. This was before I knew the Lord, and Janine and I would laugh at those who were worshiping. We would laugh at the songs that they were singing, and we thought you guys were just a bunch of fanatical nut jobs. Until we became one. And then we became the strange ones. No, be patient with sinners and know that they will think you are strange, but be patient with them. Sinners will speak evil of you. They'll think you're strange, but they're also going to speak evil of you. There are many in the world who think we as Christians are holding back the intellectual evolution of humanity by believing in the God of heaven. Bill Nye, the science guy, has a video online in which he pleads with parents to not teach your children about the fairy tale of God. He says, we need your children to be smart and educated. Can you imagine the arrogance? He says, we need your children to be smart and educated, implying that we as Christians are dumb and uneducated. They will speak evil of you, but be patient with them, because one day sinners will be judged for sin. Verse 5 of chapter 4, they will give an account to Him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. There will come a time when both those who are yet living and those who have physically died will be judged by God. God is the one who decided what is wrong and what is right based upon His own perfect nature. And He etched that into our hearts, our conscience. He displayed it even in His creation. It is recorded in His Word, and He expounded and explained it through His Son, Jesus. And man, the world out there, they are without excuse. All people, deep down, know that God exists. They know He is God, and they know that they think, say, and do things that are contrary to the nature of God. Deep down, they know that. They know they are imperfect. But they need to know they're going to be held accountable for that imperfection. They need to know that they will be judged by God for sin. And therefore, sinners, and this is all part of being patient with them, this is how we redeem the time, sinners need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the good news of Jesus. Look at verse 6. It says, for this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. And Peter is here in verse 6 speaking actually of believers who have physically died. They're now dead, but while they live, they did hear the gospel, and now they are alive in the spirit, even though they were made fun of in the flesh. They suffered in the flesh. They were judged by men according to the flesh. You see, the gospel is a judgment or no judgment message. If you want to continue in sin, know that you will be held accountable for that. But if you don't want to be held accountable for that, trust in Christ. You choose. Sinful people will be judged. Sin must be paid for. Imperfection cannot dwell in the presence of a perfect God, and therefore the imperfect must be separate from the perfect. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Matthew 25:46, Jesus said, and these will go away into everlasting punishment. But the righteous, those made righteous through the blood of Christ, Jesus says, into eternal life. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness, the righteous perfection of God in him. The Son of God in heaven came down to earth and lived a sinless life, a perfect life, and then he took our sins, the punishment for our sins, upon himself. So that we could be made righteous as God, perfectly righteous. Romans 3:22 says, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. In the eyes of God, believers are seen as sinless because Jesus paid for them. And they trusted in that payment. We trusted in that payment. Romans 3:24 and 25, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as the propitiation or satisfaction by his blood through faith. That is the gospel. That is the good news. And one of the ways that we redeem the time is by being patient with sinners and continuing to share this over and over and over and over again. Acts 16:31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ephesians 2:8-10, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And that is exactly what Peter is talking about right now. Redeem the time. Walk in those good works. We've wasted enough time with sin. Be done with it. Be patient with those around us that yet need Jesus. It's us as believers walking as Jesus walked. And it will be strange to the world. They will speak evil of us. They are destined to be judged for sin. So they must hear the gospel, and we must be patient with them because we, at one time, remember, were walking right along with them. And someone was patient with us. Until we turned around. And Peter here says, because of the gospel, there are people who are now physically dead. They were judged by men. They went through what we're going through right now as believers. But now they're at home with the Lord, alive in the Spirit. And because of the gospel, there are people who are now physically dead who are alive in the spirit. We have generations of believers who have gone through what we are going through. Peter says, redeem the time. You've wasted enough of your life on the ways of the world. Redeem the time. Invest your time now in being done with sin and being patient with sinners. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Have you received that gift? Have you believed in Jesus Christ for eternal life? Because if you haven't, you don't have it. But you can receive it right now in the privacy of your own heart. You can tell God, I see it now. I trust. I trust in what your Son has done for me. And only in what your Son has done for me. And if you have sincerely done that this morning, today, January 12th, 2025, can be the day that you receive the gift of eternal life and turned around. Jesus said, and I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. You and I now are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And Peter's point again is redeem the time that you've wasted, that we've wasted prior to this point. Be ready to go. Live your new life for God. And the first two ways that we can do that is be done with sin, be patient with sinners, four more willing, Lord willing, next week. Father, thank you for the passage here today. And I do understand you teach us in your word very clearly that it is not by our power that we do these things. It is by the power of your spirit who resides in us and us just yielding to him moment by moment, decision by decision. Thank you for the power in us to redeem the time. Thank you for the power in us to be patient with those around us who are traveling the same path, who are traveling the same path that we used to. Lord, give us the empowerment as well as the words to say to them that they might turn around too. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Go ahead and stand. One more time.